Harrisandmore.org. That is questions, plural, at harrisandmore.org. That will come to my computer. It will also go to Tom's computer. We will give you a biblical answer for your questions. Now, the number to call tonight, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. 855-QA-BIBLE, and this will come up on your chat screen shortly so that if you are on the chat screen, you can look there and make sure that you have this telephone number. But it's easy to remember, 855-Q is in questions, A is in answers, B-I-B-L-E, and we would welcome you to call in at any time. We have some additional sponsors for our program. The Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. We have the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. By the way, Micah Dawson is the preacher there, and he's running our board tonight for Frank Briscoe. He's a little under the weather. We have the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. The Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and the Ninth and Main Congregation of the Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. We're also sponsored by the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, and we have recently been sponsored in a very nice and generous way by the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, that is on Tin Top Road. It's located on Tin Top Road. And so we want to welcome you to the program tonight. We have a very interesting program. It's going to deal with current events. And a lot of times we have the current events with something that is happening in this particular area in which we live. But that is not to say that it has not spread out into all areas of the United States of America. And basically the second part of our program is going to be about that. But we want to encourage you, if you are close to your Bible, not driving down the highway, to take your Bible and look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Because here you're going to find a passage of Scripture that is very, very important for us to understand. The passage of Scripture says this: according to his divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Now, Tom, what that means is that everything that you ever wanted to know about life, everything that you ever wanted to know about godliness, is given to us in the Scriptures through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did not leave us without a way to understand and to know what he wanted us to know about life and godliness.
And you know, David, it's very reassuring that as we think about what God has provided for us, that he has provided us, you know, like you say, all that we need. When we look at the various current events that are going on in our world today, we realize that God provides an answer for everything. And so many people today, David, are looking for answers in all the wrong places. You know,
no doubt. And you know, even we see people looking at movies to find the answer for a current event. You know, if it's in a movie, it's got to be true, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what these people are thinking. But if you stop and think, movies are only made for one reason: to make money. And they care nothing about the truth. And if we look to our television set, or we look to the newscast that we see today, or we look to the movies to see the day, we're not going to find the truth in anything.
Exactly. And so tonight, we're going to look at a couple of current events that really are troubling, should be troubling to anyone who is religiously minded. And David, just recently, and we have an article that was written by someone whom you're quite familiar with, Bud Kennedy, that we're going to talk more about in a moment. He wrote an article about how that Texas Imam, which is a man of authority who pray in the Islamic faith, he prayed at the beginning of one of the rodeos there at the Fort Worth Stock Show. And we're going to be discussing that, and there's a lot of people say, well, what's wrong with that? Should we have a problem with that, David?
Yes, we should. And we're going to get in why we should have a problem with this. But being you brought up Bud Kennedy's name, I want to remind the Harris and Moore listening public that 5 years ago, when Harris and Kerry Clark were on here, we had the privilege of using the airwaves to show something else that Bud Kennedy was trying to promote at that particular time. And 5 years ago at Tarleton State University, a young man who was in a senior class was trying to pull off putting on a play there at Tarleton State University at the Tarleton State Players Center there. And the play was about Jesus Christ and his homosexual life and his 12 homosexual lovers. And this is what they were trying to promote through the Tarleton State University drama department. And the Harrison Clark at that time got on the airwaves and encouraged everybody to stand up and do the right thing, and they did. On one particular day, 8,000 emails were sent down there to Tarleton, and it shut down their email system, or they shut it down, one of the two. They didn't want any more of it. And finally, they came to the idea that, you know, the public here around Stephenville, they were not going to put up with it, and they said that they were canceling the play because of fear of violence. And yet they had 8,000 emails, and they could not pull up one single solitary email that threatened violence against anybody.
You know, David, that's one of the things that this agenda, whether it be Muslim agenda or homosexual agenda or free love agenda, whatever it might be, they're always associating with those who are standing for what is right and true as being people who are bigots, people who are vicious,
haters,
and all of these things. And yet, there are no, you know, there might be some strange fellow out there that might be a wacko who would do something. But for the most part, people who are of a spiritual mind, people who are interested in religion, are not given to violence, and yet they're constantly being associated with that very asset.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to see as we go through the program tonight that it always comes to this, that they always want to claim that somebody is going to be violent against this homosexual portion of our population, but we're going to see that that is not true. Now, we have this Texas imam praying at the Fort Worth Stock Show. We're going to see, and we're going to ask the question, should we have a problem with this? And more importantly, what does the Bible say? Let me remind the public here, Tom, of what our motto is. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's see what the Bible has to say. And the second part of our portion, tell us about a little bit about the second portion.
In the second half of our program tonight, if we get to it, and remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. In the second portion of our program tonight, we're going to talk about the NFL and how that the NFL, during the Super Bowl, advertised homosexuality on a billboard. Again, should we have a problem with this? And again, and most importantly, what does the Bible have to say? And again, as David just mentioned, you have heard what men have said. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Now, you know, when you find one portion of this radical homosexual movement doing something on one side of the United States, normally you'll find something going on the other side of the United States. And what they do is, that, Tom, they try to push real hard an agenda, and then they back off for a little while just to see what's going to happen at that particular time. In the same week, what we have is an article here about the gay alliance that is promoting the gay agenda in junior high and high school in a Mississippi school, and the superintendent says, no, it ain't going to happen here. And isn't it good that we have people with a backbone still in the United States of America that doesn't adhere to this political correctness garbage that goes on throughout everything that we happen to get a hold of?
You know, that's what's a shame, David, is there seems to be more backbone among the evildoers than there is among those who are professing to be Christians.
No doubt.
And we need to put a stop to that.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's begin our program tonight, David, then on January the 29th. On January the 29th, a man by the name of Bud Kennedy that we just introduced to you wrote an article entitled, What's Wrong with a Texas Imam Doing a Rodeo Prayer Anyway? That was the title of an article that he had written in the Star-Telegram. Now, to kind of let you know where Mr. Bud Kennedy's come from, we remind you of what David said just a moment ago with the play Corpus Christi. This is a man who is clearly coming from a liberal standpoint, a man who is very liberal in his ideas, and a man who pretty much is willing to go for just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, when we look at this article that he wrote in a Star-Telegram, what are some things that really jump out at you with regard to some things that he wrote there?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is the fact that I think he throws around a bunch of statistics without any backup.
Yes.
He is talking about here about the Texans should not be divided over anything, not race, not faith, and definitely not the theology of rodeo prayers. And he says, this includes the freedom of 500,000 peaceful Texas Muslims. Now, I'd like to know where he gets his figures on the 500,000, but I would really like to get to know what he's talking about when he talks about a peaceful Muslim. Now, we have talked about this before, and you and I have talked about it a bunch. What is what he calls here a peaceful Muslim?
And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But, David, you know, he also... he says that anyone who really disagrees with this Muslim praying, and they call him an imam, which is a man of authority who is a prayer leader, they say anyone who disagrees with him praying at the radio, they're bigots. And he said in one article there were some emails, and it says that there were somewhat 600 comments that was posted on Facebook. Many of them were bigoted and unprintable. And this is something, David, that they're always slapping those who stand for what is right and true. Always there's a phrase, bigotry. There is hatred, as we just mentioned a moment ago. They always want to try to put a bad slant on anyone who would try to stand for what is right and opposed to that which is wrong.
Well, you know, and the word bigot is really thrown by the liberal media right at the face of every Christian that wants to stand up for the truth.
Uh-huh.
And they want to call him a bigot. They want to call him a hater. They want to, at this particular time, he says, he's in this article, he's saying they are stirring up hatred.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you? Stirring up hatred.
Well, they're trying, you know, evil. They're trying to stir up anger. They're trying to stir up force, murder, vengeance, violence. All of these things are associated with that idea. Now, David, we have some people who recently come on to the program, and we want to remind them that this is a live call-in program. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're beginning tonight by talking about an article that was written by Bud Kennedy in the Star-Telegram, and the title of the article is, "What's Wrong with a Texas Imam Doing a Rodeo Prayer Anyway?" Now, this is a Muslim prayer leader. He leads a prayer in the beginning of the rodeo. And the question we asked ourselves is, should we have a problem with this? And more importantly, what does the Bible have to say about this? Well, Mr. Bud Kennedy says that this article claims that there are 500,000 peaceful Muslims. Anybody who disagrees with this Muslim in this prayer leading is a bigot, that he is stirring up hatred and division over this situation.
And he makes out like it's nothing,
mm-hmm.
like it's absolutely nothing. And we're going to get into how it is not just absolutely nothing. But to make it even worse, we have the mayor, Betsy Price, praising this imam leading this prayer, and she said it celebrates the city's diversity. Now, what Bud Kennedy is doing when he calls people bigots and stirring up hatred and division just over an imam's rodeo prayer, he is accusing the Christian segment of our society of division, hatred, and bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just pointed out at just anybody, but the individuals who would claim that they were Christians, these are the ones that he's calling bigots and haters and trying to stir up division among everybody.
And again, he, as many people do, and we're going to see some other articles that we're going to be looking at, are always coming up with accusations of various things, but where is the proof? When we talk about the NFL and their billboard, they're going to be making all kinds of statements, but no proof is given. It's easy to make accusations, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say this is that or not, but where's the proof?
Where is
the proof that there are 500,000 peaceful Muslims? Where is the proof that those who stand against this are only bigots and are full of hatred? Where is the proof in all of this? Well, David, when we think about what he has said, the first question that we might ask, an imam is asked to pray. So he's praying at this rodeo, as maybe a Christian prayer might be.
And if a person is to offer the invocation, the idea behind this is he is praying for everybody in the audience.
Now, we've got a scholar here on the chat room who says that what we're trying to say sounds like imam. Imam.
Imam.
You know, all I know is it's e-wrong. But it's imam.
Imam.
If we can rely upon our good friend Denny, and I'm sure he is actually correct on that, an imam. He is a Muslim who is a prayer leader. Well, who does he pray to, David?
Well, he prays to Allah. He does not pray to God, although he considers to be Allah his God. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, when a person offers an invocation, he is offering the invocation for everybody that is praying there with him. And I can see, you know, that Will Rogers Coliseum, it doesn't hold but about 10,000 people, but I can see about 9,999 of them just livid over the fact that we've got an imam praying to Allah on my behalf, by the way.
Exactly right. And so he's, you know, David, the Bible's very clear that there is only one God, and that is Jehovah God, and Allah is not a God. What does the Bible have to say about that, David?
Well, and if you take your Bibles and you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 5, we get this explained to us. First of all, look at verse 4. It says, "Who would talking about Jesus Christ, who would have us, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And then in verse 5 it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. And so the prayer is not getting off the floor to begin with. The imam is uttering, but that's not the point. The question that Bud Kennedy asked in the newspapers, what's wrong with it?
And we asked the question, should we have a problem with this? Well, yes, we should have a problem with it, because he is praying to a false god, and I'm not in favor of that. I know that you are not in favor of that. I know that everyone who is on the chat room right now is not in favor of that. And why should we be okay with a man praying to a false god? And not only that, a false god who, as we're going to see in just a moment, one who they say it promotes murder and lying.
Like murder and lying. But I certainly do not want an imam praying or speaking on my behalf.
Exactly right.
Do not want that. Now concerning the mayor's response to diversity, Tom, there are a lot more people in this world that are more concerned about the political correctness of whatever the situation happens to be, and the response that the public might have toward anything that is said or done. And they're more worried about the man's response to it, or what the man is concerned about, than they are what God thinks about the entire subject. And there's a passage of scripture that is glaring right here at this juncture.
You know, isn't it true, David, that the world seems to be more interested in being socially diverse? You know, we talk about having diverse beliefs in football and in religion and in our politics. You know, we want to please everyone, don't we? That's what they're really meaning by diverse. We want to have something for everybody. But Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me."
Okay.
The way, the truth, the life.
Now, Jesus Christ said it. Of course, this imam doesn't care what Jesus Christ said. But the majority of the people that I know, they believe that God had a son named Jesus Christ. Now, they may not be Christians. They may just be Christian-minded or Christian-like, but they understand that Christ is the mediator between us and God, and we cannot get to God in any other way. You can pray to God until you run out, pray to Allah until you run out of breath. You're not going to get to God, and you're not going to get to heaven by doing so.
You know, we're talking about this idea of the Muslim population and this prayer that this imam is making. Denny said he just looked up on the 2010 census, how it showed that Texas is the number one population for Muslims in the United States. You know, Dave, that's scary.
It is almost scary.
A half a million people. You know, and so it's important for us to talk about this, because it affects our beloved Lone Star State more than we care to admit.
Right.
You know, and here we see it right now in when you think of Texas and rodeo, you know, that's country, that's conservative, but now what are they bringing in? Muslims, liberalism, you know, and we're in trouble if we don't stop this. And we ask, should we have a problem with this?
Absolutely.
Yes, we should. Because he's preaching or teaching praying to a false god. Like the mayor says, we need to have this diversity. No, we don't. We need to stand for what is right and true according to God's word. And I don't care what everybody else thinks, what everybody else wants, what the populace would desire. Diversity, you know, diversity is not always good.
No.
There is one way to heaven. That's God's way. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how many diverse ways there are in the world. There's just one way to heaven. And so diversity and just throwing out that word don't make something right.
Right. And the proverb writer in chapter 23 and verse 7 says, there is a way that seems right unto mm-hmm. a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And so we need to keep these things in mind. It's not Christianity is not a diverse religion. Christianity is a very exclusive religion.
Yes.
It doesn't make any difference what a politician says or what somebody from Hollywood says. It just flat doesn't make any difference. But now, as we answer this issue from a biblical perspective, let's just ask this question right here, Tom. What is it that makes a Christian, a true Christian? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about someone just claiming to be a mm-hmm. Christian. What is it that makes a Christian?
Okay. Now, before I answer that, David, I want to mention again, I see people keep coming up on the chat room, additional people. I want to remind everybody tonight that this is a live call-in program.
Amen.
The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, presently, we're talking about an article written by Bud Kennedy, and the article is entitled, What's Wrong with a Texas Imam Doing a Rodeo Prayer Anyway? So we have this Muslim praying at the rodeo, the Fort Worth and Livestock Rodeo, and we ask, should we be having a problem with this? And the answer is yes. And part of the answer with this in answering yes, David, is the question that you just asked. Mm-hmm. What makes a faithful Christian? Well, one, would you not say, who adheres strictly to the Bible? If a person says, I'm going to do exactly what the Bible says, would you not call him a faithful Christian?
Yes.
Striving to be?
If he would just do it. And this is what makes everybody the Christian that he is. He is totally submissive to the word and the will of God that is revealed to us in the Bible.
You know,
totally submissive.
But what would you think about a person, David? Well, you know what? I think I'll just abide by maybe one-tenth of the Bible.
Well, he wouldn't be a faithful Christian. Oh. He could call himself a Christian, mm-hmm. but he wouldn't be a faithful Christian.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's think about a refrigerator, David. If you had a refrigerator that worked only once a month, would you call that a reliable, faithful refrigerator?
Absolutely not.
If you were calling a person a faithful Christian, would you not consider them to be one who is trying to be obedient to God's word in every aspect and trying to do right with God in every part of his life? We would call that.
Absolutely.
Well, then let me ask you a question, David. If that's what makes a Christian faithful, makes a faithful Christian, one who adheres strictly to the Bible, what makes a Muslim faithful? You know, you hear that word, we're faithful Muslims, mm-hmm. but we're peaceful.
Well, an individual that adheres to the Quran would be a faithful Muslim.
That stands to reason, doesn't
it? Yeah, well, I mean, if a Christian's going to be a Christian by doing it to the Bible, and so if one adheres to the word of the Quran, then that would be a faithful Muslim. Mm-hmm. If an individual decides that he's not going to adhere to the word and the will of the Quran, well, he's just an unfaithful Christian. And may I suggest to you that even all the way back to President George Bush, and I like George Bush except for this one thing. He called Islam a religion of peace. And he knew full well that this was not a religion of peace. History will point out to us that it has never been a religion of peace. It has always been a religion of violence.
And so why should we have a problem with this imam praying at the Fort Worth rodeo?
Because we are looking at a religion of violence and fear that is put into people that they would adhere to the words of the Quran. Now, when we look at this Quran, we have some. If you don't have some problems with what we're about to read to you, you've got some big problems. Now, the number to call. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE if you want to get in on this discussion. And believe me, this is just as much your program as it is anyone's. And we would love to have you call in because it just makes the program better. Now, Tom and I can talk till we run out of breath, but we'd like to hear what you have to say. So pick up the phone and call.
No, we think about this idea, David, of being faithful. A faithful Muslim, one who adheres strictly to the Quran. I hear so many times, David, in our world today, yes, I am a faithful Muslim, but I am a peaceful Muslim, just like the former President George Bush says. But in the Quran, David, when it comes to peace, you know the Quran contains at least 100 and 9 verses that call Muslims to war with non-believers.
Now, who are they calling non-believers, Tom?
Anyone who's not a Muslim.
Absolutely. Especially Christian.
And so they are calling non-believers for this, Muslims to war with non-believers for the sake of Islamic rule. Some are quite graphic, with commands to chop off heads and fingers and kill infidels, whether they be hiding or not. This is a very brutal religion. Now again, David, people who claim to be a faithful Muslim, are they not going to abide by what the Quran says?
Absolutely. And Muslims, and we're going to see this in a minute, Muslims who do not join the fight against these unbelievers, they're called hypocrites, and they are warned that Allah will send them to hell if they do not join the slaughter. Now, isn't that something?
Exactly. And one of the things there, David, in the Quran, and I'm not sure how the chapter 2, verses 191 through 193, the first part of it says, and kill them wherever you find them, and turn them out from where they have turned out. Here he, Allah, is commanding them to kill anyone, anywhere you find them, who is not a Muslim. Now, a lot of people, David, will go to this passage and say, well, this is defensive warfare. But in the context, you'll notice that it's not defensive, but it is a very offensive attack. They are to go out and find anyone who is not Muslim and kill them if they are not willing to proselytize to be a Muslim themselves.
Right. And notice the hatred that and the fear that they're trying to instill in those Muslims who are not faithful, that won't join into the slaughter. They're going to be sent straight to hell by Allah because they refuse to join into the slaughter. This is a religion of fear. This is a religion of violence. And
now, getting back, David, to Bud Kennedy, he says that there are a half a million peaceful Muslims in Texas. Well, if what Denny said is correct, according to the 2010 census, there's not quite a half a million people. But if every single Muslim in Texas is a peaceful Muslim, are they a faithful Muslim?
No. You cannot be a faithful Muslim and be peaceful at the same time.
And so
you've got to be violent. You've got to be just like the ISIS that we see on our news, that our president refused to call a terrorist when they're cutting off the heads of journalists that come over there. This is a religion of violence.
You can call your religion what you want to. You can call yourself peanut butter religion. But if you call yourself a Muslim and you think you have a peaceful religion, you're mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely
you
mistaken.
Know, let's just call it like it is. You know, the Muslim religion is one of war. As a matter of fact, in the Quran, in chapter 4 and verse 95, there in that passage, it criticizes peaceful Muslims who do not join in the violence and letting them know that they are less worthy in Allah's sight. You know, they are condemned according to what Allah says in the Quran, those who claim to be peaceful Muslims.
Right. And so that is just one aspect of why it is wrong to let an imam do the praying for 10,000 people at the Fort Worth Stock Show rodeo, and nobody say anything about it. Well, when people started kicking up dust, well, Bud Kennedy started writing an article and calling everybody a bigot that's kicking up dust over it.
You know, when we think about this idea of Islam and Muslims being people of war and not of peace, you know, that's just the opposite of what the Bible is, isn't it?
It's just exactly the opposite of Jesus' teaching.
Yeah, Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate was asking him about if he was the king, you know, and all that. And Jesus, does he not respond to Pilate in a way that really verifies the fact
Absolutely.
That this is a religion of peace as opposed to what the Muslims claim to be? Mm-hmm. Muslims, or at least those in America, now we're going to talk about this in a moment, that there are going to be many people who might claim to be peaceful, but in reality they may be lying to us.
Right.
But Jesus claims to be a religion of peace. And how did he do that, David?
Well, when he was standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked him, he says, your nation and your chief priests have delivered you unto me. What do you say about it? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then when my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Now, what he's telling us here is that, you know, if he needed to fight, and in another place he tells us he could call 10 legions of angels to step up there and fight and destroy anything and everything that's in his way. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way of the Christian religion. The Christian religion is of peace. It's built on the foundation of love and faith.
You know, he had the perfect opportunity right there in the garden when Peter was right there and he pulled out a sword and cut off Malchus's ear.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, keep on doing. Let's get these guys. No, he says, no, put your sword up.
Right.
Because his kingdom is going to be established on peace and not through violence. And
right.
yet that is the very thing that Islam is founded on, is violence. Well, you know, Dave, when we think about why should we have a problem with imams and they're praying at things like this rodeo, should we have a problem with it? Yes, because of what the Quran teaches. Not only does it teach violence to all those who are not Muslims, but also it promotes lying. And David, of all things, this is the thing that concerns me the most about all this, is what they believe with regard to lying and the propagation of the Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that the Quran says, David, in regard to lying?
One of the things in the Quran 40, verse 28, the Quran says, a man is introduced as a believer, but one who must hide his faith among those who are not believers. And what he's saying here is, this is all about deceit.
Uh-huh.
A Muslim is to be introduced as a believer, but then it says he must hide his faith among those who are not believers.
Now, of these 500,000 people who are living in Texas who claim to be peaceful Muslims, could it not be the case, David, that 500,000 of them are lying? In reality, we are people getting ready for war.
Well, how would you know who a faithful and an unfaithful Muslim was? Because he is allowed by the Quran to lie all of his life and to live a life of deceit. And you would never, ever know the truth as to where he stood on any issue whatsoever.
So on the other side of this issue, we say they're not faithful Muslims. Well, maybe they are in the sense that they're lying to
right.
us.
Right. So we don't know. We don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to realize, you know, also In the Quran, chapter 2, verse 225, it says, Allah will call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oath, or will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oath, but for the intentions of your heart. Now, the context of this remark is marriage, and explains why Sharia allows spouses to lie to each other for the greater good. Now, if they're allowed to lie for the greater good, in their eyes, would they not be willing, therefore, to lie for the greater good of the cause of Islam and lie? You know, I've believed for years that our president is very strongly attached to Islam, and I believe he is a Muslim.
There's no doubt.
And could he not be lying to us?
No doubt about that as well.
And so when we think about, do I have a problem with this imam praying at the Fort Worth rodeo? Yes, I do, because of what they stand for and what they possibly will bring to the table. But David, you know, the Quran says it's okay to lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ends justify the means. It's all right if you're going to use it to propagate the better good. But what does the Bible say?
Exactly. The Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, in verse number 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's not the only place. We are told that liars will not go to heaven. And here in verse number 27 of the same book, Revelation 21, it says, and there shall be in no wise enter into it, that would be heaven, anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, Tom, what this tells us is that lying is one of the things that really, really upsets God.
Mm-hmm.
He will not tolerate it at all. And a liar is not going to heaven.
You know, so how opposite then is Islam and Christianity?
Just about as opposite as you can get on a diametrical pole.
So do I have a problem? Do you have a problem with imams praying?
Absolutely I do. And in answer to Bud Kennedy's article, what is the problem with a Muslim or an imam leading a prayer at the Fort Worth Stock Show Rodeo? There's your problem. They're a bunch of liars. They are involved in a religion of anger and fear and violence, not peace, not love. You are a member of that religion because you fear for your life.
Now, anyone who claims to be a Muslim and claims to be a peaceful Muslim, that person is either lying or that person is unfaithful, or they are just totally they just don't understand what the Muslim religion is all about.
No doubt about that.
But and you cannot be a faithful Muslim and be peaceful in regard to non-Muslims.
And if you have a problem with what we're saying, won't you please call in and let's discuss this, and we'll talk about what the Bible has to say, and we will compare it with what your Quran has to say. The number is 1-855-QA Bible. Just pick up the phone and call us. We would love to discuss it with you.
You know, David, was it 100 years ago? Winston Churchill.
Yes, he was.
He pegged this whole thing.
No doubt. Won't you read it to us?
And had we listened to men of renown, people of great wisdom way back then, we wouldn't be in the trouble that we're in. And
no doubt.
We wouldn't be, we may not have trouble with all of this. Fighting around the world. Winston Churchill said, how dreadful are the curses which Mohammedanism lays at its votaries, which are vows one's bound by. He says, by the fanatical frenzy which is as dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog, there is this fearful fatalistic apathy. The effects are apparent in many countries. Improvident habits, sloven systems of agriculture, sluggish methods of commerce, and insecurity of property exist wherever the followers of the prophet ruler live. A degraded sensualism deprives this life of its grace and refinement, the next of its dignity and sanctity. The fact that in Mohammedan law every woman must belong to some man as his absolute property, either as a child, a wife, or a concubine, must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be great power among men. Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities, but the influence of the religious paralyzes the social development of those who follow it. No stronger retrograde force exists in the world. Far from being morbidum, Mohammedanism is a militant and proselytizing faith. It has already spread throughout Central Africa, raises fearless warriors in every step, and where it is not that Christianity is sheltered in the strong arms of science, the science against which it had vainly struggled, the civilization of modern Europe might fall as well as the civilization of ancient Rome. You know, here in these weighty words of Winston Churchill, he tells us 100 years ago what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and what he sees happening. And what we see here is the bad treatment of children, the downfall. You look at the countries where Islam is in control. What kind of countries are those, David? They're slum. They're wanting. They don't have what they need. They're, for the most part, third world type countries.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying all these things are going to happen. What do we see happening? Those very things.
Right.
He had it right. We need to realize that Islam is not going to do anything but destroy and take away our rights as Christians.
Right. Well, in the time that we have left, we want to change gears here for just a moment. And what we want to do is show you that the homosexual radical agenda is, they are at it again. And normally what we see is a great push in a couple of places in the United States, a great push to promote something. And then also, it happens at about the same time in several different locations in the United States of America. And this is what we found last week, right up to the preview of the Super Bowl. And one of those things was the homosexual agenda. It's a campaign that is gone by SCRUFF. And what that is a gay social networking application, and it's supposedly used by 7 million people worldwide, and it features this billboard that they put up trying to promote by the organizers of this gay agenda. They're trying to get the National Football League as attention at this particular time, and so they get this billboard, and the billboard has two men eyeing each other in the locker room alongside the slogan that says, "Play on our team." Now, this scruff, as I understand it, Tom, is the founder of this thing is a fellow by the name of Johnny Scandros, and he said that he wanted to highlight the fact that gay men have always played on football teams, and they don't fall into simple stereotypes.
You know, and he also said there in that same article that that he says way back in the very first Super Bowl, there were players who were homosexual on these teams. Well, you know, he makes all these assertions,
mm-hmm.
but where is the proof?
There is none.
You know, and he said, I wish other people had the courage like old Sam did, you know, and him coming out and all of that. Well, you know, when we think about this idea of courage, the people who are homosexuals nowadays are getting so many rights on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And these people started saying, well, I wish they had courage. I'm just thinking that the people they're saying they wish they had courage is showing that there's not those people out there that they're claiming to be.
Now, for those of you who think that we're making a big deal out of nothing, I want to read to you the quotation that was on this news article that came out from Reuters. And it says, quote, regardless of sexual orientation, this is Johnny Skandros, everybody on a sports team is playing to win, and we're saying that we invite everyone to play on our team. It's a message of inclusiveness. Here we go again. Let's include everybody. The NFL should recognize that gay men have been playing in the league since the very first Super Bowl. As you said just a moment ago, there's no proof of what he is having to say here, but they're trying to promote this at every corner. Now, when we look at what the Bible has to say about this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 24, we see a totally different view from Jesus and the Holy Spirit as to what is right and what is wrong.
Now, David, while you're turning over there, what they're trying to do here is to try to win acceptance with the masses, aren't they?
Yes.
They're trying to get people to accept this. But the question I have, David, is whose acceptance do we need? The acceptance of the masses or what God wants?
Right. And this is the problem that I see, Tom. We have so much political correctness going on, and so many people that are afraid to be called a bigot because they will stand up for what is right, or a hater, or somebody that just wants to stir up division among the people. And this is all pointed toward Christianity, because Christianity has the standard of the truth here. When we look at what God has to say about this, and we look at a billboard like that, even if we're looking at it in a newspaper article, it just turns one's stomach knowing that how far away they are from what God had to say.
Exactly. And so we think about this idea of we want to be pleasing in God's sight. Well, David, what does God say about this issue of homosexuality?
Well, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that just recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And here's the kicker, Tom, in verse number 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Mm-hmm. And what that means there, you know, if we are acceptable to this kind of lifestyle, then we are going to be condemned just as much as the homosexual was for committing the abominable act in the first place.
And so, you know, we asked at the beginning of this program, should we have a problem with this?
Yeah, we should have a problem with this.
Most
definitely.
We should
have a big problem with
it. Because we want to be interested in pleasing and being accepted by God and not by what society wants. You know, the NFL, you know, there's nobody who loves football. I love football. I love watching football. But I wish the NFL would just get out of everything and just be concerned with football. They don't need to be promoting homosexuality on the billboards. You know, when old Sam, that homosexual that was drafted by the Rams, and then the Cowboys picked him up, and then later cut him in October. You know, they make a big to-do because he was a homosexual, right?
Absolutely.
Well, what they needed to do was just say he was a football player who couldn't cut it.
That's exactly
right.
And
that's all that's needed.
That's exactly right. Now, before we run out of time, I want to give some people some hope. And because in this very same week, that this billboard was being promoted, we have a school district in the Mississippi area that does not want a pro-gay club to be on their campus. And, of course, who comes to their rescue but the ACLU? And what we see here is the ACLU is going after this Mississippi school district that is requiring students to obtain parental permission before joining a club that advocates homosexual rights. And this is from a principal that says it's not going to happen here. You want it to happen, you talk to your parents and you give me a signed consent form and we'll let it happen if that be the case. And that wasn't good enough for the ACLU.
Exactly. You know, and they are, these several in Mississippi school districts, they organized this club. And this superintendent, Spriggs, he was opposed to it. He thought that they ought to get families' permission. But notice it says in its letter to the superintendent, ACLU of Mississippi claims one of the benefits of on-campus GSA clubs is dialogue. They say students talking openly and honestly on gay-related issues with other students is a uniquely effective way of making young people aware of harms. Now, notice this, David. Harms caused by discrimination and violence.
Here we go again. If you're opposed to what we want to do, you are a hater, you are a bigot, and you're threatening violence against us.
You know, I've watched the news, and you've watched news, and we've read about these things. You know, we kind of make, that's one of the things we do is read about political things. And I don't know, David, if I could even come up with 1% of the times where I've seen violence associated from the Christian's faith toward a homosexual.
Yes. And this Mississippi superintendent needs to be held up and revered by those kinds of people that are opposed to this kind of thing. We watch it, we see it, we hear it, and we say nothing, we do nothing about it. And by the way, we need to know better than that. And what does the Bible have to say about this kind of activity?
David, I'm very encouraged with this. I don't know what his religious affiliation is, but I know one thing. We need courage like this, man. It reminds me of what is said in the book of Jude. Mm-hmm. In Jude, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men who were crept in privily, even those who are of old written of beforehand unto their condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Now on down in the verse it says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, having in like manner with these given themselves over to fornication and gone after strange flesh or homosexuality, or set forth as an example, suffering the punishment of eternal fire." Jude says we need to stand up and oppose things that are contrary to the faith, even homosexuality, because that's contrary to the faith.
That is contrary to the faith, and we're just about out of time. I'm glad that we got that point in about this Mississippi superintendent. I am so thankful that we still have men that will stand up for the truth and that will stand steadfast in the truth. Like you say, I don't know what religion this man is, but I know that in his own mind he is doing what is right according to the Word of God. And for that he is to be commended, and we are to emulate the courage that Jude suggests that we have to earnestly contend for the faith. And Tom, we're out of time, and I want to thank all of the chat box members that were on the chat box, and if we didn't get around to you, well, we apologize for that. Don't give up on us. We'll do it again next time. God bless you as you read your Bibles. Tom, you got the last word.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.